Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Tom Donahue's documentary, Casting By, takes us through the last 50 years of Hollywood history from an entirely new perspective, that of the casting director. Pioneers like Marion Daugherty and Lynn Stallmaster were iconoclasts whose exquisite taste and gut instincts helped to put an end to the studio system and usher in a new Hollywood. They broke away from traditional typecasting and brought actors like James Dean, Dustin Hoffman, Bette Midler, Robert Duvall, Gene Hackman, and Glenn Close to the screen. Tom Donahue combines personal narratives from actors, directors, and casting directors with extensive archival material to reconstruct the untold tale of Hollywood's most invisible and unheralded profession. Casting By will screen as part of the Berkshire International Film Festival on Sunday, June 2nd at the Triplex in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Tom Donahue joins us now. Tom, welcome to the Roundtable.
Hi, thank you.
I loved this movie.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm glad to hear that.
Could you?
I think most people don't know what to expect. You know, they think, oh, a movie about casting, how is that going to hold my attention?
And then it's about, primarily about, such a groundbreaking individual.
Yes.
Tell us about Marion Daugherty.
The studio system was in decline in the 40s and 50s, and actors started going freelance. They started leaving their contracts at the studios because the studios could no longer afford them. And this thing called television emerged in the late 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And Marion was a window dresser at Bergdorf Goodman in New York. And this guy came up to her and said, Marion, do you want to, I need help. I'm working on this new thing called television. Have you ever heard of it? And she said, yeah, I've heard of it. And he said, I need someone to help you find actors for this live television show that goes on one to two times a week. I need 10 to 20 actors a week. I don't know where to find them. So Marion joined him, left her window dressing job, and started finding James Dean, Gene Hackman, and Al Pacino, Warren Beatty, Dustin Hoffman. It was this amazing journey that she went on over the next 53 years, pioneering the craft of casting and really kind of reinventing the craft of the casting director.
She kept 3x5 index cards about people, about the actors that she would meet and how they read, but what was good or particularly interesting about them.
Yeah, I have actually, in my possession, I have 4,000 of her cards.
Whoa.
Which are amazing over a period of about 50 years.
How did you come to possess the cards?
Well, I made a deal with the estate, and one of my executive producers is Margaret Whitten, who was Marion's caretaker in the last years of her life. And Margaret helped considerably in digging through Marion's archival and letting me use the cards and putting them on the film. So it was great.
What was so special about her, about Marion's insights into performers that made her so good at her job?
Well, I think it's hard to quantify. I'll say, the first thing she says in the film is a casting director needs to love actors. And for this film, I interviewed about 100 casting directors. And the best ones either were actors or just love actors and have a real affinity for them. And I think Marion just loved people. And everybody wanted to come out to talk about Marion. Robert Redford, Warren Beatty, and nobody had anything bad to say. They were just filled with love for her. And I think because they felt she loved them so much.
You mentioned that you talked to a lot of casting directors for the film. And I loved that in the credits, they're listed before the actors that you also
as
spoke
casting
to.
Directors too,
of course, as casting directors. Speaking
right.
of that, the sort of villain of this documentary turns out to be Taylor Hackford, who's a director.
I know, I hate to call him that.
I know, but I mean, in this context, I mean, he's a great filmmaker. He directed Ray, which is another film.
He is, and Devil's Advocate is one of my favorite movies.
Right, but in this, he's so sort of well, like we said, villainous and glib and condescending about the job of the casting director.
I was amazed when I did the interview with him and I asked those questions and he gave me those answers. They were not diplomatic. And at the end of the interview, he said, I know people are not going to like me for what I'm saying, but there are a lot of other directors that agree with me and don't have the guts to go on camera and say it. So I'm actually very proud of him for being so honest.
Right. Yeah. No, it's certainly the steadfastness of his opinion and his sticking to it is admirable.
Yeah.
How long were you working on this movie?
God, actually the idea, it was Joanna Colbert and Kay Lacey, two casting directors out of Los Angeles, who came to me, believe it or not, at the end of 2006 and said, at the least you could do, I didn't know who Marion Daugherty was. They said, the least you could do is just put her on tape for us because she's 85, she has amazing stories and no one's ever really done an interview with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I put her on tape in 2007, about 6 months later, and my jaw dropped at the incredible, it was a 12-hour interview, and all these incredible stories just poured out of her. And I realized if I can get half the people that were part of these stories in this film, I could have a great film. And it could be, it's this window onto casting I'd never known about.
And you have mentioned a few moments ago some of the people that you talked to in the movie after the casting directors. You spoke with Clint Eastwood and Robert Redford, Martin Scorsese. What are the steps that you have to take to get those people to sit down in front of the camera and talk about someone?
Many, many, many steps over many years. So you need to start with a genius producer named Kate Lacey, who was an executive at Disney for 7 years and Marion's last assistant, who was doggedly determined to get these people in front of the camera to make this movie. And if somebody said no, it was the worst thing they could ever do because it would never be the end of it until they said yes. Or it was like Clint Eastwood saying yes, and 2.5 years later, going through 3 assistants, we finally actually got him to sit down to do the interview. Bette Midler, 3.5 years. So it just takes an incredible determination to make it happen. And our last interview was a year and a half ago. It was Robert De Niro. And then, the film was almost done.
Yeah.
And he finally agreed to do it.
Do you know, from when you talked to Marion, if there were any of the stars that she, had a hand in discovering that she was particularly proud of? I mean, she seems very equal opportunity loving to me in the film. But any that she had as a extra large feather in her cap?
Yeah, she's so proud of the Midnight Cowboy story,
right?
And how she fought for John Voight and how she really believed in him. She actually also loved, believe it or not, Mel Gibson was someone she cared very deeply about. She loved Clint Eastwood. So many of them. Warren Beatty was another one she thought very fondly of.
To be fair, we all loved Mel Gibson until a few years ago.
Absolutely, of course.
And then some turns.
Something happened. At that point, Marion was out of the business.
Right. Not her fault.
Maybe that was the problem.
Maybe. Do you know if there were any actors?
Paul Newman, by the way. She was
of
very
course.
Close to Paul Newman, and he made a joke once. He called her the father of casting.
Yeah, no, her hand in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid is, it's
amazing,
invisible, but so important.
And the reality is, because of Marion, there's the Sundance Film Festival. Like, who knew?
Right. And she seems so... I know there's a lot one can do with editing, and I don't mean to be just completely gaga over this woman, but she...
No, she's amazing.
She seems so appropriately proud, but not braggadocio, not narcissistic about everything she had accomplished.
No, but honestly, I don't think you can be a great casting director if you are.
Oh, right.
The same is true of Lynn Stallmaster. They're so forthcoming and they're so loving of other people. And I think that's what makes them great at being casting directors, because they listen to people. And you can't be a good casting director unless you're a good listener. Or a great actor, for that matter.
Mm-hmm. There was a push in 1991, I think it was, to get her a special Academy Award. And she did not receive it, and she did pass away in 2011. Do you think, obviously I'm asking you to speculate, do you think that there's a chance she could posthumously be awarded something at some point?
Well, there's always a chance, but I will say we even had friction in the in memoriam at the Academy Awards. There was opposition to even putting Marion up in the in memoriam section after she had passed away. And the reason, at least as Juliet Taylor tells it, is that once you start this with casting directors, it opens the floodgates. And so I don't know. There's an old guard in the Academy that's very set in their ways. There is, however, a lot of new blood. And, hopefully this movie will be something of a tipping point to get people to change their attitudes.
It is as I said, a wonderfully engaging documentary about a fantastic woman and about Hollywood. And I thank you very much for joining me today to talk about it. Have a great time at BIFF.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Tom Donahue is the director of Casting By. The documentary will screen as part of the Berkshire International Film Festival on Sunday, June 2nd, at the Triplex in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. A Q&A will follow the screening with casting directors Gretchen Rennell and Alyssa Myers. To learn more, visit BIFFMA.org. The film will also premiere on HBO as part of their Docs summer series on August 5th. To learn more about that, visit hbo.com/documentaries. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.